Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message. So we're on part three of a series called Christmas Playlist that we start at the beginning of the month. And what we're doing is we're looking at Christmas songs, songs that maybe you've heard before. They're kind of common songs, traditional songs, and we're discovering Jesus through them. So we're taking these songs that are kind of about Jesus, but we're saying, how can they show us Jesus in our lives? And today, we're going to look at the song, Away in a Manger. Right? We sang it. It was a beautiful song, and some useless trivia knowledge for you on this, because that's what I like to do here, right? This song was originally written in 1885, and it was first published in a Lutheran Sunday school curriculum. And so students were using this, kids were using it, and eventually the adult world, we adopted this song. And it's just a great song. And in fact, next week, our kids here, they've been practicing a song, kind of a medley that they're going to be performing Saturday and Sunday. And Away in a Manger is one of those songs. Because it's beautiful and it's heartfelt and Jesus is tender and he's mild and the cattle are lowing, even though I don't know what lowing actually means, but it probably means that they're quiet and the baby, no crying he makes. Yeah, okay. Right? Like we just kind of get this beautiful picture. And so we're going to talk about that song. Now, before we dive into this, today's message is very strong. Okay, it's a strong message. And next week, and you've got invite cards on your chair, those are there for you to take and give to people in your life and say, hey, come spend Christmas weekend at Truth Community Church. Next week, the message is very tender and mild, and we're going to have a great, great time. We're going to have a great time today, but today's just not so tender, not so mild, all right? So today is kind of a, I'm going to be in your face kind of message. So I need you to stay with me, get in my face. All right, a couple of you, the ones who didn't, you're smarter. You're like, I'm not saying any of that. I've been in church before. I don't speak. So, but your neighbor did. So now I'm going to do it. So, but I'm telling you, if you would kind of with open hands and a softened heart be receptive to what we discover today, this is life-changing. This is transforming to how we live our lives. And if you don't know who Jesus is personally, if you've never said, Jesus, I want to serve you. I want to follow you. Today is a beautiful, beautiful day for you. And if you've been serving him, today is a strong reminder of what that actually means. So away in a manger, there's this line that's repeated over and over, and it's the little Lord Jesus. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The little Lord Jesus, the little Lord Jesus. And we sing it, we sang it this morning, and it's a cute little phrase that we sing. And it kind of puts in our head that image of that. A 7-pound, 10-ounce baby Jesus, and there he is sitting in the hay, right? He's just sitting there, and no crying he makes, and he's so cute, and he's sleeping. Side note, whoever said sleep like a baby never had a baby, right? Parents, right? It's just that, but there's little Jesus, and he's so cute, and he's little Lord, and little Lord. And the phrase, it sings well, but it kind of is a disservice to Jesus who is Lord. Jesus, who is in fact given the title of Lord. It's very different. When we keep singing and saying the little Lord Jesus, we're saying one thing that's very different than Jesus is Lord. And today I want to talk about that phrase. What does it mean for Jesus to be Lord? Not little Lord Jesus, not baby Jesus. My little girl, Cece, she's like obsessed with nativity scenes right now. Like I can't tell you how many manger scenes we have in her house because we keep losing people and she bugs out if we don't have people. But the way she says, we're baby Jesus, we're baby Jesus. Like it's beautiful. I'll get it on my Instagram later so you can see it. But just like shameless plug to get more followers because that's what we want in life. But here's the little Lord Jesus and baby Jesus. But what would it mean for you to say that Jesus is Lord? And the reason why this matters, specifically that word Lord, is because the word Lord is used 740 times just in the New Testament, just in the second half of the Bible. Right? You take this and just right there, 740 times Jesus is referred to as Lord. That's a big deal. That means we have to ask, what does that mean? In fact, when Jesus' birth was first announced by the angels, to the shepherds, maybe you've heard this before, this kind of Christmas text of when we read the story in Luke, We see in Luke chapter 2, the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Okay, what is the good news that you're going to bring for all the people? And he says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is," what does it say? "Christ the Lord." So the angels show up and they're declaring, "I've got good news for you." What's the good news? There is a Savior born for you. What does the word Savior mean? He's your rescue. He's going to save you. Okay, he's the Christ. What is that? That's a Jewish word for the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that the Jewish people were waiting for hundreds and thousands of years. But then the angel says, "Christ the Lord." He is the Lord. What would that look like for you in your life? So to give you some context, if you're married today, you're married to someone, what would it mean if Jesus was Lord in your marriage? What would that mean? If you're dating or whatever that is in your relationships, what would that mean if Jesus, you are Lord of my relationships? You are Lord of my relationships. Jesus, you are Lord of my finances. You're Lord of my money. And we'll have some emotions and attitudes. Jesus, you are Lord of my responses when things don't go the way that they need to go. You are Lord in my home. You are Lord at my job. Jesus, you are Lord. What would that mean? And so that's what we are going to look at today. Now, the word that's used 740 times, that Greek word, you're going to learn some Greek today. So I'm telling you, you are going to be the smartest person at Christmas. Are you prepared for this? Now you know Greek. The Greek word that's used there is the word kurios. Kurios. And that's where we get the word Lord that we repeat 740 times in our English translation. But it has other meanings to it. And two of them is this. The word kurios means supreme in authority, controller, Lord. Now, if I'm just kind of being honest and just surveying the room, I think that the definition we struggle with the most is controller, right? Come on, could you imagine if all 740 times we said, who is Christ the controller? I don't know if I can do that. Right? Because if you're the controller, the issue is now you've got competition, Jesus, with me. Because, I mean, how often are we going to say, "Oh, I'm Lord of my life"? Yeah, that's probably not on your language. Like, wake up and say, "All right, today I've got this. I'm the Lord." You're not going to say that. You're like, "All right, I've got this day. I'm in control of this day. I'm going to control this. I've got a plan. I've got a place to go. I've got a list that's going to get me there. I'm in control." And we're discovering that Jesus is the controller. Now, maybe you struggle with control. I do not have this struggle at all, right? A little chuckling going on because you know that's not true. See, I don't struggle with control as long as everything goes the way I want it and everyone does what I say. If that happens, I have no issues. There's no problems at all. But the truth is, and I'm being honest, I definitely can be a control freak. I mean, if you don't trust me, go to my office afterwards. You see my calendar on the wall. Everything is blocked out in time blocks. I shift things around. If a meeting comes, oh, that's no problem. I'll just move this over here because I'm in control of my schedule. I'm going to make sure everything works out. I've got all the details planned. And for most of you, if not all of you, that's where we all land. It might be in different degrees, but every single one of us would say, you know, I'm some kind of a control freak. That's why for me, like, I'm never going to be the passenger, okay? So if we're going somewhere, I'll pick you up. Because I want to drive because I'm a better driver than you, okay? That's just what it is. Like, I'm not going to be here. If you come to my house, don't touch the remote. I'll have to ask you to leave. Like, these are just different rules that you should be aware of because I love to be in control. And that's kind of all of us here. As you think about Christmas morning and you want to control Christmas morning, and for you, it's like you wake up and the kids come out of their room slowly. Their hair is, they already brushed their teeth. You didn't even have to ask them. They don't care about the presents. Can we read Luke 2 before we open anything? I mean, this is like the perfect Christmas for you. Put your feet up. The bacon is just the right amount of crispy and tender. I mean, it's just perfect Christmas morning because that's what we want. We want to control everything. Side note, I don't like my bacon crispy. I like it a little undercooked, okay? I know it's disgusting, but that's the way I like it. But we the faces that I'm seeing right now is quite amazing. It's just like, I don't think I could stay in this church. We need to leave now. But we want to be in control of everything. That's where we land. And that's why if Jesus is in fact the controller, then there is an issue here. There's conflict inside of us. If you are saying today that I'm a Christ follower, that I believe in Jesus, that he is in fact Lord, then you have to come to a place where you say that means he is the controller. Now, I just want to deviate for a second here because there's this phrase that maybe you've used or we use, and look, this phrase is interchangeable. It's not a bad thing, but I just want to be a little technical for a second so you understand something. You can't actually make Jesus Lord. You ever say, like, I'm going to make you Lord. I'm going to make you Lord of my life. And it's good, but you don't get to make him Lord because God already did that. Does that make sense? You don't get to say, now you're Lord Jesus. No, he's been Lord. When the angels first announced his birth, they said he is Lord. Long before that, the prophets were talking about him being Lord. So Jesus already is the supreme in authority, the controller, and the Lord. So what you and I do is we respond by surrendering to the lordship of Jesus. That's when we say, I'm going to make you Lord of my life. I'm going to surrender to the fact that you are Lord, and now I'm kind of coming under your lordship. Does that make sense? It's important because there's two ways that we do that. And I'll say there's probably the very common way, the way that I've done this so often in my life and still struggle with doing this. And then there's the way that Jesus says. So let's talk about the common way. The common way to surrender to the Lord is to do a partial surrender to Jesus, to partially surrender our lives to the lordship of Jesus. And for that's kind of like, well, Jesus, I'll give you some of me, but I can't give you all of me. I'll give you most of me. I mean, you are Lord after all. But these other areas of my life, I mean, we say good things like, I'm going to pray about it. I'm just working through it. God's working on me. Yes, yes, and yes. True, true, true. But if he's Lord and he's the controller, then that working on you needs to come from a heart of surrender. See, when Jesus walked this earth, thousands of people followed him. Thousands saw his miracles, received his meals, saw the resurrections, saw the teachings, heard all of this. They followed him. They believed in him. And at one point when Jesus is standing up, preaching this message, he gives them some context and says, hey, if you call me Lord and you do what I say, it's kind of like building your house on a strong foundation. You know, stuff in life is going to come, the wind's going to come, but you're on a firm foundation because you didn't just call me Lord, you've surrendered to my lordship. But if you just call me Lord and you don't surrender, that's like building on a sandy foundation. And when hard times come, maybe you've done this before, I have, say, what in the world, Jesus? I mean, this isn't what I expected. Are you even listening? Do you even care? Are you real? Well, maybe you haven't done a full surrender. And Jesus, as he's preaching, he says this at the end of that talk. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? Jesus is saying, why do you call me the controller? Why do you say with your lips, you are supreme in authority, and yet you're not doing what I'm saying to do? You're not living it out. This is kind of like lip service. We sing it, we say it, we might even believe it, but when it actually comes to surrendering, we don't do that. Maybe you've heard this before. You don't just talk the talk, you walk the walk. If you're in a relationship, how well would your relationship be if all you do is say you love that person and they're telling you what they want and you're not doing that? They want you to stop or start something. Say, oh, don't worry, baby, I love you. No, you can't just say it. You've got to live this out. You've got to come to a place where you say, no, I'm no longer in control. And yet for many of us, what we do is when we follow Jesus, we're excited about him. We're excited about following him. But then we hear something like this where he says, don't just call me Lord. In another place, he stops people. Think of this. Jesus stops people from following him because he says, you need to actually count the cost here. This is not just sign me up. Sure, Jesus, I'm in this. You're the little Lord Jesus, and you love me, and I love you, and we'll figure the rest of it out. No. Jesus is saying, I'm the Lord. I'm the controller. And so if you're going to come under me, It can't just be this partial. This is what partially surrendered life looks like. So we're pursuing Jesus and we're like, God, wake up in the morning, God, I want to know more of you. I want to follow you today. And so I'm going to grab my Bible and just, God, I've got these relational issues and my relationships and people have hurt me. We've all been hurt before. And God, I'm reading here and you're saying that I need to forgive them, right? You say, forgive them as you've been forgiven, but you can't mean actually them because you probably never, Lord, let me introduce you to them. You don't know what they've done. So let me, you know what I'll do? I'll just kind of take this page and we don't really need that. We'll just leave the relationship part out of it. And then what we do is we come over here and we're pursuing God. And wow, God, you say you want me to be generous. You want me to give. You want me to live within my means. You want me to not overspend, to not accrue debt. But thank God tithing's in the Old Testament, so we don't have to worry about that. And we flip over, then, oh, he says that we should be more generous than that, that everything we have is his. I'm not sure I'm there yet. We'll just kind of leave that to the side. And God, I know you want my schedules and you want every day, but I'll give you Sunday if it's not football season, unless the Giants are losing, then I don't care. I mean, we can come to church, but Monday, Friday, no, we can't do anything with that too. And that's what we do. Now, some of you are very afraid that I'm going to get struck by lightning right now, okay? I know, but just stay with me. And if you're offended right now, I want to remind you of something. This is paper with ink on it, okay? It's not downplaying the word of God, but that's paper and ink. But what we do in our lives is that very thing when we partially surrender. We do that. We rip pages out of God's word in our heart and in our life when we say, you can't mean that. There's no way you actually want me to do that. That's Old Testament. That's not for today. It must be cultural. It must be something else. There's no way you want me to do it. Well, God's going to work on me through that. And we rip pages of God's word in our heart. Now, if you're still offended, you can email me, joereg@truthcommunity.org, and we'll take care of that on Monday. Love you, bro. I hope you're watching. But that's what the partially surrendered life looks like. Now, I got a copy of the PSV that I want to read a text from. The PSV is the partially surrendered version of the Bible. All right, so it's a good version. It's probably a lot of our versions when we really think about it. But look at what Proverbs chapter 3 says in the PSV, and we can read this together. It says, trust in the Lord with some of your heart and lean on your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge him, and you can make your paths straight. Doesn't that sound good? Are you motivated this morning? Come on. You can do this. Now, if you're new to church, please don't memorize this verse. This is not real. You're like, I went to church today. I learned a new Bible verse. It was great. It told me I can do what I want. This is the partially surrendered version. I heard one pastor put it this way as he was kind of working through this. You can't say to Jesus, keep me out of hell, while I do whatever the hell I want. You can't say that. That's not how following Jesus works. See, he is not a part-time Lord that you get to pick and choose and take the parts that you're good at, the parts that make sense, the parts that don't mess with you too much, and then the rest of it say, well, God forgives. Yes, he does. But he's got a way better plan for your life than a cycle of forgive and repeat, sin and repeat, and I'm working on it and repeat. He's got a better plan for you. He wants to make your path straight. But that is not a straight path is not the result if you're gonna lean into the partially surrendered version. So I've got these questions that I want you to just look at and allow the Holy Spirit in this moment to do something in you. Think, what have I not surrendered to the Lord? And I believe right now, if something's coming to your mind, that's the Holy Spirit doing work in you. Maybe you're ready. You're like, I know exactly the area that God is still working on. Okay, that's the part you haven't surrendered to him. What area am I still trying to control? Everything's good as long as this is good. As long as I can keep my hands on this, God, you run the universe, I'll run my finances. Okay, you run the universe, I'll run my relationships. You run everything, you get all of this. I just need the weekends. I just need my schedule. I just need peace in my home. I just need my children to listen. I'll take care of this. You take care of the rest. Okay, what area am I unwilling to give to God? And I believe right now the Holy Spirit is stirring your heart. You don't have to think too long before he's already, you know what it is. You know what it is? Maybe for you it is your children. You know how much I struggle with that? Where I say, God, I love you, but I'm worried. God, I'm just going to make sure that my kids are okay. God, I just want to know where they are 24/7. Is that too much to ask? Right, like all these different things, and yet we're saying you're Lord, you're controller, you have it all. God, you love my kids more than I love them, and yet we won't surrender them to him. Or maybe it is your finances. You're saying, I don't know that I can land there. If God gives me more, then I'll start living out his principles. And he's saying, you haven't surrendered that to me yet. Maybe it's your schedule. Maybe it's your future. You ever done this before? You're like, here's my plan, my future plan, all right? I'm gonna graduate, and then it's Long Island, so it's gonna take me 20 years, but I'm gonna find a house. I know it, right? And I'm gonna find a house, and we're gonna get a relationship, we're gonna get married, and we're gonna have a child, and it's all gonna happen on this date by this time. And if it doesn't happen by that time, well, then God, I don't know why you're so mean. And we try to control our futures. And I'll tell you, for me, an area that I struggle with the most is my peace. Having peace in my life. See, I can easily believe that I have peace if I'm in control. If there's no traffic, praise you, Jesus. I know it's Long Island, but God, you love me. You are for me. I declare your favor right now. No traffic, right? There's traffic. And you get to work and things aren't the way they need to be. You get home and the house isn't clean. And it's all of these things that I attach to my peace when the controller in my life, who is also called the Prince of Peace, is saying, would you just surrender that to me? So that you can actually have peace when there's traffic. So you can actually have peace when things don't go the way you're trying to control them to go. It's a partially surrendered life. Now, thankfully, there's another way to serve Jesus, and that's the fully surrendered life. Look at what the author Paul says. He says, for we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, look at this, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. And he just concludes it right here. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. That's actually a beautiful promise. That you can know if you are following Jesus and you've surrendered fully to his lordship, that if you are living right now, which, just scan the area, we all are, all right? You're upright. Then you can know he's in control. He's got this. He's got my job. He's got my health. He's got my emotions and my responses. He's got my children. He's got my family members. He's got my friends. He's in control because I belong to him. And you know what? And I know it sounds morbid, but if I die, he's still in control because I belong to him. Think about that. Isn't that the way of life that we want to live? To know I can't actually control this, but I'm surrendering to God and I belong to him. 10 years ago this month, 19-year-old Keith saved up as much cash as he can get his hands on. And 19-year-old Keith bought the biggest ring you can buy for that amount of cash, which at 19-year-olds wasn't that big, but it's all right. And I bought a ring, and on January 1st or 2nd, I don't remember, one of those days, that's when I proposed. I know when I got married, all right? Calm down. So when I proposed, I got down on my knee, and I asked Amy, and I said, would you marry me? Will you be mine? Now, play along with me. How much did that ring cost me? The answer is everything. I was 19 years old. It literally, any dimes that I found on the couch cushions, just we're going to push this forward. Didn't want to accrue debt from it. Okay, I bought the ring, cost me everything. How much did it cost Amy? The answer is zero. The ring cost her nothing. Now, when I asked her to marry me and she received the ring, then how much did it cost her? Everything. At that moment, it cost her everything. Because 9 months later, on August 1st, 2009, I know the date, all right? We stood before God and we said, you belong to me, I belong to you, death do us part, and we belong to the Lord. See, Amy belongs to me. And I know you're like, no, she's her own woman, it's 2018, she has her own rights. Listen, try to touch her, I will kill you, okay? Why? Because she belongs to me. And the same is for me to her, right? Can I just go out with any girls I want? No, not for very long, because she'll find me and kill me. That's what will happen there, right? Because she belongs to me. Because that ring that cost her nothing, that I gave to her as a gift, when she received the gift, follow this, when she received the gift, she then forfeited it all and said, I belong to you now. Everything. We are each other's. When Jesus came to this world, when God sent his son to this world, Jesus came with the mission to be what we read, to be the Savior, to rescue us from our sins. And the way he rescues us from our sins is to pay the penalty for our sin, which is why Jesus died on the cross. We read that it's the free gift of eternal life. Your real life that is given to you by God through Jesus, it is free to you. It costs you nothing, and yet it costs God in heaven everything. His own son, crucified. But when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, as Romans 10:9 says, that Jesus is, look at this, is Lord, then you surrender your life to his lordship. And you can't get both ways out of this. You can't receive the free gift of life from the God who it cost him everything to give it to you. And then also just say, well, that's little Lord Jesus. Right? There was this phenomenon of Jesus is my homeboy t-shirts, right? Jesus is my homeboy, Jesus is my friend. And I'm sorry, man, that's a disservice to who Jesus is. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not just a little baby lying in a manger, not crying. He is the soon returning ruler of all things, supreme in authority, the one who made it all, coming back with his name written on his thigh, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's coming back. He's the King. He is the Lord. And he means business because he's Lord. Now, that shouldn't put fear in you. That should put joy and excitement in you, because how beautiful is it to know that he is the controller in our lives, that he invites us to be controlled by him. I mean, I would rather surrender my life to Jesus than try and play with everything to get it to work out the way I want. And in the end, you can't control it anyway. I can't control it. If you've ever tried, you know. So we're either going to live a partially surrendered life or we're going to fully surrender to Jesus. Let's read Proverbs chapter 3 again, but in the real version. This is the one you should memorize, all right? We can read it together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Now, the word that's used there for acknowledge is the Hebrew word. You're learning Greek and Hebrew today. Aren't you glad you came to church? The Hebrew word is yada, which means to know. That's what the word means, to know personally. So we might say, in all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. See, the reason why you don't trust Jesus in a certain area in your life, the reason why I don't trust him in this part of me, is because I don't know him in that part. That's why. Because if you knew that he is the one who supplies all of our needs, that he is the one who is in control of everything, if you knew that he is the restorer of relationships, if you believe that, you knew that about him, then you would turn over those areas to him. Does that make sense? So we're not trusting him with certain areas because we haven't yet known him in those areas. Now, the beauty is you don't need experience to be your teacher. You get to discover who Jesus is through, yes, reading, but also community with others. Saying, hey, I went through this and I knew God this way in this area of my life. And what do we sing songs? I've seen you move. I'll see you do it again. I've seen you do this because that's who you are, God. And so if you're struggling with trusting God in one of those areas, you don't know him in that area. But the invitation is that you can. You can know God in that area. You can know him in your life. Now, I want to read from Matthew. This is at a moment where it's the end of Jesus' message, what we read earlier. And look at the words he says. This is strong. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, there it is again. He's just repeating himself. Says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. That's interesting. Because he's saying it's not enough for this lip service. You can't just say, Lord, Lord. You actually have to come under my lordship. But look at the pushback he provides. He says, many will say to me on that day, and that day is when we stand before God, Lord, Lord, using it again, supreme in authority, controller, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Come on, for us in our context, maybe, God, didn't I went to church like 50 out of 52 Sundays that year. I did that for you. And every day, you know how many YouVersion Bible plans I completed and I posted all the time and the church and I served and I gave. And God, it was all for you. It's all for you. And look what he says. He says, I love Jesus. He says, I'll tell them plainly. I'm not going to hide this thing. This is what I'm going to say. It's just blunt. I never knew you. never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. See, it comes down to this. Do you know Jesus? Like, really know him? Like, relationally, you love him? You know, one time Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment is, and his response was a relational answer. It was, love the Lord your God. And he didn't say with some of your heart, with most of your strength, with as much might as you can. No, he said, the command is love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength, all of your soul, everything you have within you, you love him. You love the Lord. You love the controller. It's a relational command. It is about knowing Jesus. So you might be saying, well, then why in the world should I do this? Because this sounds crazy. Like, I don't know that I can give 100% of myself to Jesus. I don't know that I can land there. And here's why. Because a fully satisfied life, the life that you and I want, is a fully surrendered life. If you're saying, I want to be satisfied in this life, I want to know Jesus in this life, I want him, he needs to be the controller of my life, that is a fully satisfied life. See, if we're just going to do a partial surrender, well, then we're going to have partial satisfaction in this life. Because when you partially surrender, the area that you don't surrender in, guess what? You don't get to point the finger at God and say, what's up? Come on, why aren't you working this out? Well, because you didn't surrender that to me. If you surrendered it to me, the outcome and the path would be very different. But you didn't, and now you're experiencing what it's like when you live a partially surrendered life. Now, I've never been a fan of fire and brimstone preaching, you know, kind of pin you against the wall right now and say, do you know where you're going to go if you die tonight? You're going to be in hell? None of that. This isn't about fear. This isn't about hell. This is about right here and now, December 16th. Is Jesus the Lord of your life? And it's not that you make him Lord. He's already Lord. Is he Lord in your life? Have you surrendered? What amount have you surrendered? Yes, we're all in process. That's the beauty of the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Don't think because I stand up here that somehow I'm 100%, I've got it all nailed down. No, it's not the case. But we fully surrender every part, and those areas that the Holy Spirit is stirring in your heart now, those are the areas where you say, wow, I need to know Jesus in this because it's really hard for me to surrender this part. Okay, so we don't just sit there and say, I'll just pray about it. No, we do something. We pursue Jesus. We open ourselves up and maybe with our hands and say, God, stir my heart, fix it. Holy Spirit, I'm open to what you want to do. I'm not going to just stay where I am right now. It's all right to not be all right. It's just not all right to stay that way. We're not going to stay here. So we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to move us towards full surrender because you can't just call him Lord and do what you want. It's a free gift of salvation that God is offering to us. And so today, we're going to respond. We're going to, maybe for you, it's just different ideas. As we sing this song, what would you do if Jesus was like literally here, like flesh and blood? His presence is here. His Holy Spirit's in our hearts. But if he was here, how would you honor him as Lord? Maybe you might bow down in your seat. You might just kind of bow your head in reverence and honor. You might have your hand up and say, Jesus, you're my king. You're my Lord. I'm building my life on you. So as we sing, would you allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in your heart so that December 16th, the areas in your life that are, there's struggles for you to surrender, the Holy Spirit starts to chip away at some of those things so that your responses can be different tomorrow. So you can be living out the principles that God has in your relationship, in your finances, in your time, and all that you are doing. Because God wants to bring you to a new place today. You are a new creation in him. Surrender to the Lord. Allow him to be Lord in your life and to make your paths straight. So would you stand with me as I pray for you and then we respond this morning? Father, I thank you for every person in this space, those watching online, those who will listen later in the week, God. I ask that the Holy Spirit, your Spirit, would do a work in us, would begin change us. God, I believe every person in this space, we all have areas that we struggle with surrender. It's hard for us, Lord, but you are faithful You are not giving up on us. And today is a reminder. We need to surrender to you. Full surrender. Make us new. Make us different. So right now, God, as we respond, as we lay out our hands before you, I pray that you would do something new in us. That we would do a full surrender to you, Jesus, the Lord of the universe, Lord of our lives. We pray this in your precious name. Amen.